13, actually the first message in which we get into the parables themselves. There are seven of them in this chapter. This is the most important single chapter in the New Testament, in my estimation. In fact, in the entire Bible, in understanding the spirit of this age in which we live and what we can expect till the end of this age in which we live, which is very shortly in front of us now. In Matthew 13, let me read just the third and part of the fourth verses, the third and fourth verses, and then verse 9, and I will read the rest of the parable and its interpretation as we come to it, as we interpret it. In verse 9, we find these words, and this is the key to interpreting the entire chapter, the seven parables. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's the key to interpreting the entire chapter. But it's not nearly as easy or as simple as it sounds. Because Jesus, in the very first parable, plainly says that there are completely different qualities of hearing practiced by different people, sometimes by the same individual at different times in his life, and certainly by different individuals when any group of people is together, are together. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, it's absolutely amazing to me that Jesus refers to ears and hearing 19 times in 11 verses in the opening portion of this chapter. 19 times in 11 verses. And he constantly indicates that it's possible to hear and not hear. And it's possible to hear regularly and never hear. It's possible to hear to one degree and not the right degree. So he constantly is telling us in the Gospels to be careful how we hear, to take heed how we hear, because the most important thing in your life is the degree of depth to which you receive the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's a matter of spiritual hearing. And verse 3 it says, and Jesus spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds, and then he describes the soils of four different qualities and kinds upon which these seeds fell. Now let's explore for a few moments the introductory ingredients of this parable. The first one is the sower. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now the sower represents two people. First of all, and most apparent and most obvious, the sower represents Christ himself. He is the great sower. He literally came forth. It says a sower went forth to sow. Jesus literally went forth. He had existed in his Father's presence through all eternity past. And there came a day when suddenly and immediately he went forth. And he doesn't stop there. He went forth first to the Jews. That was his primary mission. When he started commissioning his apostles and his disciples, he said, do not turn to the Gentiles. Don't go to any Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so he went forth first to the Jews. But the time had come now, and you'll remember our two earlier studies when the Jews had categorically, through their leadership, turned Jesus Christ down. They had rejected him as King of the Jews. And so Jesus now goes forth to the Gentiles. And beginning in the second parable and through the seventh one, numbers 2 through 7 in this chapter, deal with what's going to happen and what has happened and what is happening in the appeal Jesus Christ makes primarily to the Gentiles. And we are now in the times of the Gentiles. Now this first parable does not concern the times of the Gentiles. It concerns the time when Jesus was alive here in the flesh upon this earth. And it tells us of the responses his gospel received from the hearts of men, especially Jews, in that day in which he preached that gospel and sowed this seed. So the sower is Christ himself. What Jesus is giving us here is a transcript of his own personal experience. This is an autobiography spoken by Jesus himself of his entire earthly life and ministry in the days of his flesh
as he scattered gospel seed and the truth about himself and himself into the various kinds of soils that heard and responded to that truth and to himself. And so you have a picture of his own personal experience here in the world. Now, here's what you find. Years before Jesus came, there were spiritual pioneers who came to Israel and thrust in the hoes and the shovels and rooted out the tangled growths of Israelite life and prepared for the sowing of the seed. In the succession of God's timing in history, the pioneers, the early pioneers, were replaced by the early prophets. And they thrust in the plowshare. And up and down the rows of Jewish soil they went, turning the furrows over, making the ground fresh, breaking up the fallow ground, because the time was coming when the rains of God would fall on that freshly plowed ground and seed would be planted and the Jews would have the ultimate opportunity to know the truth of God. And then one day, the sower himself appeared. And he came just with holy recklessness, scattering the precious seed everywhere. The bag was at his waist, as it were. He walked up and down all those freshly plowed furrows, reached in his hand, and in abundance he took out that seed and just flagrantly, recklessly scattered it everywhere on every type of soil and every kind of heart to give everybody an opportunity to respond to him and to the truth that was resonant in him and spoken through him. And so he himself is the sower. Now the other sower, or the one that this sower stands for secondly, is the Christian. The Christian. In Psalm chapter 126, verses 5 and 6, we find these words. All of those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And this is a picture of every person resident in Christ who goes out to penetrate society, recklessly spreading that seed everywhere. Now listen carefully for this moment. That is the task of every single Christian in this age. And there are no exceptions. You are alive today for one primary purpose. And that is to take the seed of the Christ in you and the truth that he has deposited in you and flagrantly, recklessly pronounce it and spread it in every direction, just scattering it everywhere. Don't worry about the response. Just scatter the seed, because the response is not yours to determine. Jesus talks about that response here. But he says every kind of soil needs an opportunity to produce, and it is your business, as if you were the only one, to recklessly, with holy abandonment, scatter that seed everywhere in all directions. Now, sowing is not a very attractive occupation. Anybody would rather be a harvester than a sower, because harvesting is a somewhat happy, spectacular thing. When all the sheaves are bound together, the great celebrations are on, the feasts cover the tables, and all the people are gathered with singing around because their income is secure and God's smile has been upon them, and the harvest is being gathered into the granary. But previous to that harvest, there must be a sowing. And sowing is usually a very lonely job. The sower goes out. He is all alone in this part of the field. He walks up and down, slowly, up and down those rows, all alone. It is a thoroughly laborious and menial task. Out there under the blistering sun, or early in the morning, or late in the evening, or at night, whenever he chooses to go, he goes out and reaches in and takes the seed out. Up and down those rows he goes, and he scatters it everywhere, and nobody pays any attention. If they go by, they just shrug their shoulders and are indifferent to him. But he is engaging in the most significant single task up to the point of harvest, because you cannot have any aftermath toward the harvest until the sowing takes place. And this is the most unlikely occupation people want to be involved in of all, and yet it is the most indispensable of all occupations. You see, a sower gets to be participant in a miracle of God. He gets to partake in the earliest stages of God's productivity in leading toward the harvest. He gets to watch as the seed is buried down in the furrow. The rain comes and further buries it under the ground, or the soil is turned back over it. He begins to imagine in his mind, day after day, as the waters from heaven fall upon the ground, and the ground is kept tilled within the purpose of the farmer and the sower. He begins to imagine how at the bottom side of that, under the heat there, and with the water falling and bathing that seed, that little life principle inside suddenly bursts, and down it begins to go, and up it begins to come.